Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business, banking for good. Member FDIC. Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Dan Jacobs.
We have our little, Andrew Mason, I want to weigh in on this because he's a kind of a Renaissance man, but somebody else just texted, and we have our kind of Beatles versus the Eagles battle going on, and somebody texts in and says, both bands were great bands. The difference is the Beatles were transcendent. The Eagles were not. Well, that's a fair opinion. I happen to agree with it. And then somebody, Brian, texts in. He wanted us, I don't know why, he wanted us to introduce Andrew Mason, our newest guest here, just now joining BSN Denver. They wanted us to bring you in with Seinfeld music. Is there a story behind that, Andrew?
I think I came on the air once or twice over at another station in the market with the Seinfeld theme when I was asked in the break. Before those appearances, okay, you've got a TV show you like. And I just said, okay, let's just settle on Seinfeld. It's a theme that people know. So that's where that came from. Somebody has been following my appearances all over the stations in this market over the years. I do appreciate that.
Well, my former partner on another station always took credit for making you who you are. Because he was the first one to have you on his radio show, and then I became his partner. But I don't think you really blew up until you started coming on my show with him, with Reno. So I think I should get some credit for, you're a huge star now. You're all over TV. You're all over radio. You're all over the internet. You just started a new gig. You switched from the Broncos to BSN. But I think I should get some credit.
I do give you a little credit. I should, you know what, when I get the smoker going, I should smoke you some meat and see if you can try it and see if it stacks up to the ribs that you on your smoker.
There we go. And real quick before we get into the Broncos, where do you weigh in? Eagles or Beatles?
Oh, there's no question, Beatles. I mean, it's no offense to the Eagles. I am not like the dude in The Big Lebowski. I am not anti-Eagles to the point where I'm getting thrown out of a cab because I don't want to listen to one of their songs. But thinking big picture here, while the Eagles had some good songs, and they're memorable to us, those of us who've been around the last few decades, the Beatles, in terms of music history, they're going to be talked about probably a century or two from now. I don't think the Eagles stack up there. That's why I got to go with John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like, listen, the Eagles are great. I'm not hating on them. I'm just exactly what you said. They're nice, but they're not the Beatles. That's all.
Yes. The Beatles, I mean, think of how many things in terms of pop culture from the 20th century are probably still going to be remembered 100 years from now and go down in the history books. And the Beatles will be one of them.
Yep. All right. So the big news, this circus with Antonio Brown and the Raiders, who the Broncos have the good fortune of catching up with on Monday to start the season. What do you make all this stuff?
Well, where do you begin? It's more dysfunction from an organization that appears to have cornered the market on it. It's the move they had to make once. I mean, really, it should have been made probably 2-3 days ago once the incident with Mike Mayock happened. That was the Rubicon that should have caused the Raiders to make the move right then and there. And I think some of it is obviously, as you know, being in the legal profession, getting all the I's dotted and T's crossed in terms of legalese, because you've got to get all the stuff with conduct detrimental to the team squared away so you can recover that bonus. And you're not going to recover the draft pick compensation, but at least maybe you can recover some of the guarantee and be off the hook from that and not cripple your salary cap for the next 2 or 3 years. So if there was a delay, I imagine that had something to do with it. But this is something that they just had to do. You can't, if you're trying to reshape the culture of that organization, something that Mayock and John Gruden have both spoken of, you can't go along with having someone who physically threatened your team's general manager on the roster. What does that say for the young guys? They got 12 rookies on the roster. They got 19 first or second year guys, and they keep talking about culture, culture, culture. If you keep AB, you're basically napalming that notion.
So what exactly happened? Because we heard there was the blow up, and then we heard he was going to be suspended, and then we heard that he had a heartfelt, emotional apology to the team that he wasn't going to be suspended. And the captains were surrounding him. And then he leaked the tape of a conversation between him and John Gruden. Like, was he actually going to play if he didn't, like, go crazy and ask to be released? And plus, we have to throw in now, like, I've never heard of anything like this. They were, like, basically saying you can stay on the team, but we're not going to guarantee you your money anymore. Like, what all happened?
Yeah, as of yesterday, at this time, after the apology of the team, I had been given every indication that he was going to play. So I wouldn't have done that if I were in their shoes. The moment the incident with Mayock happened, I would have been moving toward a release from that point forward. But I think the thing that really was the straw that broke the camel's back, I think it was putting that conversation out on Instagram. I think Oakland then just kind of hit that point of no return and said, okay, we've got to move on. What I don't know and what I'm curious about here is if there was any role in ownership at the Mark Davis level in terms of making this decision, because, you know, I think that the popular thing to assume is that, okay, Mayock obviously would have wanted him gone, but maybe John Gruden overruled him. But maybe this was something that went all the way to ownership and Mark Davis wanted to keep him around for a little bit, and then after this, it was decided, no, we can't do this anymore. Not if he's going to go out there and be putting what we thought were private phone calls out there in the public sphere.
So, how do you think this affects the game on Monday? I personally think, you know, it really helps the Broncos. We had our own James Merrillat on a couple segments ago. He said, well, maybe the Raiders run the football more now, and it gives them a better chance. How do you think it impacts the game?
Well, it should make them easier to contain because you're losing that vertical speed threat that he provides. The Raiders can't replicate that, but something like this can be a little bit dangerous. And I make a comparison to the Chiefs from a few years ago. Remember when they had Jamal Charles and basically their offense for the first year of Andy Reid was, you know, Jamal Charles right, Jamal Charles left. We got when Alex Smith drops back to pass, oh, Jamal Charles in the flat. And that actually made them relatively easy to defend because you knew that Jamal Charles was option one, option two, and option three. He gets hurt, and all of a sudden it made them trickier to deal with because you had to watch for a variety of options. It was actually in the wake of Jamal Charles getting hurt that, for example, Travis Kelce really began to emerge as a threat. So even though they don't have the film of AB as a Raider, they knew what he could do individually from going against him with the Steelers. It does bring a tricky element into this because who is Derek Carr going to emphasize when he drops back to pass? Who's his first option? Is it going to be Darren Waller, the tight end? Is it going to be Tyrell Williams, the receiver they got from the Chargers? Are you going to see someone like Hunter Renfro, third-day draft pick out of Clemson, who, despite having nothing in the way of measurables, all he does is catch the ball and make plays. He did it at Clemson. He's been doing it for the Raiders in training camp in the preseason as well. So there's that element. It's like sometimes, Dan, when a team calls up a pitcher from AAA, and that first time he goes out there and throws seven innings of shutout ball, and nobody saw it coming, but it's because no one knew what to expect from this guy when he was stepping on the bump. And that is the risky element for the Broncos in this game, not really knowing who the Raiders are going to emphasize. That being said, I don't see them replacing the vertical threat, but I think James Merrill did make a good point. It gives a chance for the running backs, gives a chance for Jacobs to get more involved, and then they may be able to find some things in him they weren't planning on.
All right, last one for you. How are you feeling about the Broncos this year? What's your outlook for the Broncos this season?
Well, I am just finishing my contributions to a piece on bsndenver.com where Zach Stevens, Ryan Konigsberg, and yours truly offer some predictions for the year, including the record, and I've got them at 8-8, and I know that is completely boring. It's splitting the difference between, you know, in terms of the fact that I think they'll play a lot of close games. This season is going to have a lot of 23-20, 17-13 type of contests. You more often than not, you'll win about half of those, maybe give or take one or two, lose half of those, give or take one or two, which puts you in the 6-10, 10-6 realm. I split the difference to 8-8. And the Broncos, they've gotten some breaks that you'd think they were breaks, like AB being out, like Derwin James of the Chargers being on IR. That's the Week 5 game, of course. Melvin Gordon still with his contract impasse. They don't have to see Andrew Luck in late October, but you can poke holes in every one of those. With the Raiders, hey, the Broncos got drummed by the Raiders last December 24th, and AB was still a Steeler. The Broncos, they've lost three of their last four to the Chargers. The Chargers get Hunter Henry back. The Colts, that's a much more talented roster than it was 2 years ago when the Broncos went up there and beat them, led by Jacoby Brissett. So ultimately, I think it's going to be an 8-8 season in which there are moments of promise and they find some more young guys who can help them for the long term, but still they're stuck in that frustrating middle class of the NFL and they're kind of treading water for another year.
Well, if they're middling along, do we get to see Drew Lock?
It depends how they get there. If they get to 8-8 by being, say, 4-7, and I could see that, and I could see something like that happening. My guess is they're going to be 6-8, put Drew Lock in when they're eliminated, and then win the last two coming home against Detroit and Oakland. And frankly, 8-8 in which you don't get Drew Lock out there is in some ways a worst case scenario for this year. If you're not going to make the playoffs, you've got to get Drew Lock out there for two games and start finding out what he has. The two-game thing, that's similar to how the then Houston Oilers got Steve McNair out there for the last couple of games of his first two seasons. I think you need to, if you're not going to make the playoffs, you need Drew Lock to be out there for 2 to 4 games to start figuring out what you have and evaluate him against other quarterback options down the line in the draft.
Hey, Andrew, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Congratulations on the new gig.
Thanks, Dan. Great talking to you. Take care.
All right, see ya. That's Andrew Mason from BSN Denver. We'll take a quick timeout.
Get an early scouting
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.